Well, all right. Good morning, everybody. Good to see you. If you're in the building, of course, welcome. It's great to have you guys. If you're tuning in online, it is also great to have you as well. Special shout out to a group of people that may be watching from a hunting camp in South Georgia. Good to see you guys again today. Give it up for our online audience, if you would, everybody. Yeah. So we are just 8 days removed from Easter, and I am so thankful that you are here. So I want to say this, that if you are back after coming and joining us for Easter, I'm really, really thankful that you would come and connect. And I really want to communicate to you our heart, not just to have you attend services. In fact, that's not our heart for anybody. Our heart is that you authentically engage with our church. Here's what you're going to discover about Church on the Rock. We are very, very real people. We serve a very, very real God, amen, everybody, and we have real struggles and, like, real bills and real kids and, real family stuff. Like, we're just real people, but here's what we've discovered, that God has not only called and built us to walk in a relationship with Him, God has also called and built us to walk in a relationship with His people. And so here at Church on the Rock, our heart is to help you to better engage with the church family, a community of faith that I think will be important to all of us. My name is Josh. If you don't know me, I have the privilege to serve as the lead pastor here at Church on the Rock. I love what I get to do. And so today, I'm going to lead us into a brand new little series. We're going to do about a three-week little series here. And we're going to be calling our series On This Rock. So here at Church on the Rock, that's the name of our church, Church on the Rock. But what rock? What does that mean, on this rock? We're going to dig into that, because here's what I want to help you discover, is what does it look like for me to actually have an authentic and engaging relationship with my Heavenly Father? So that's what we're going to talk about. I would love to open us up in prayer, and then we're going to get right into the content. Father, we love You. Thank You for this morning. Thank You so much, Lord God, for the opportunity that we have just to be in Your house among Your people. And I pray, Father, in Jesus' mighty name, that You would just meet us here. Every single one of us have a need today, all of us. And I just pray, Father, that You would meet that need. Father, help us, I pray, in Jesus' name, just to connect with You in a deeper way. I pray that when we walk out of here, we would be closer to You than when we walked in. And I pray this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen, amen, amen. I believe you guys are working on it, but I've got a terrible ring up here, so if you could work on that for me, I would definitely appreciate it. All right, let's get right into it. So we're going to start a brand new series. We're calling it On This Rock, and we're going to start right here. I want to take you right where it comes from. In Matthew chapter 16, verse 13 through 18, I want to start right here in the Bible. The Bible says that when Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, He asked His disciples, "Who do people say the Son of Man is?" In other words, Jesus is asking the question, like, what do people say about me? Well, what's the word on the street? And I think we want to know that kind of today, too. That's why we have Instagram and Twitter and Facebook. We want, like, what do they like it? Do they like it? Was my filter good? All right, I'll quit now, right? We care. How many of you know, like, we care what people think? And Jesus is just asking a simple question. Well, what's the word on the street? What do people say? Who do they say that I am? And so verse 14, they replied. He's talking to His disciples, by the way. And they replied, well, some say that you're John the Baptist, others say that you're Elijah, and still others, Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. So just for context, let me explain this, that reincarnation was a big, big deal, major cultural belief, especially then. I know it still exists today, but it was just a very normal kind of cultural belief. And so as they respond, well, man, people think you're like Elijah or one of the prophets, you're John the Baptist. That is super complimentary to Jesus. Because they're saying that people think you're awesome. That's exactly what they're saying. Like, you are like superhuman. You do amazing things. And so these people are wondering, are you some reincarnated great coming back to serve us again? So that's got to make, if it was me, I'd be like, oh, nice, man. People think I'm nice, right? It always feels good to be affirmed. But verse 15, here's the crux. Here's where I really want to focus for the next few weeks. But what about you? Jesus asked. What about you? Who do you say that I am? And Simon Peter answered, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. And Jesus replied, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but by my Father in heaven. I want to pause right here for story time. You guys okay with that? Last week was Easter, and so I was strategic. Like, my weekend ended yesterday, okay? So, like, let me air quote that. Weekend ended yesterday. Like, my, quote, work week begins
today, right? Early this morning is when my week sort of gets going. And so I was strategic last week, and I intentionally took an additional day off. So I took Thursday off, and I am a deer hunter. I know that the people that attend this church know that. I'm pretty serious about it and love it very much. And so I just decided I'm leaving town. I'm going to deer camp. I'm going to spend a few days there. I'm going to just rest and unplug and just try to just be in like my happy place, y'all. I like the woods. Come on. Anybody else in this place? I like the woods. All right. And so I just decided I was just going to go and spend a few days there. And I did. And it was awesome. I had a great time. While I was there, though, there were other people there. So I'm a part of like a lease. There's I don't know how much property we got. It's a lot. And there's like 20 or 22 people that all pay to be a part of that lease. And then we all have rights to hunt on that property, right? So it's turkey season right now. And so there's a bunch of people up there doing some turkey hunting. And so I had the privilege to meet two new friends this weekend who were up there as guests hunting with one of the members of our club doing some turkey hunting. So I meet them, great people, they're nice, we're all having fun, everybody gets along real good up there. And so anyway, we're having this conversation, and at one point, it was discovered that my new friends were as nuts about bow hunting as I am. And when that came to life, listen, you couldn't shut us up. We sat around the campfire that night for hours, and we were nerding out about archery and bow hunting, tree saddles and tree stands and arrows and grain weight, and all the fun stuff that I love when I get to talk to subject matter experts that like they know technical terms, you know what I'm saying? Not just like stick and string. And so we just had this incredible like conversation, and we were so nerding out that it was probably putting the rest of the crowd off. And if Mr. Tony's watching, he just said amen out loud right there. And so we were just having this great conversation, and finally we have to like force ourselves, like we got to shut up, we got to quit talking, we got to go to bed. It's like midnight now, and we're just sitting around the campfire talking about what we love to do, to bow hunt. And at the very end, I made this comment that would mean nothing to you, really. But I made this comment to my new friend. And when I made the comment, you could just see his reaction was priceless. So I make my statement, and he's like standing there, right? He had just stood up out of his chair, and he's standing there. And as soon as I said it, he's pointing at his wife. And he that'll go away. He leans over. I pray it. Come on, Jesus, help me. Hey, so team, I have a mic right there, and I forgot to put batteries in it. So if I have to make a swap, can somebody go backstage, help me out? Thank you. If I have to make a swap. So I make this statement, and he's literally like pointing at his wife, like, and me, like sitting in the chair, and he's doing this whole like, oh my God, like. And he leans down to shake my hand, and he's like, thank you, sir. And he steps back, and he's like, I feel like I've just been knighted. It's amazing. Obviously, I had tapped into something that he had a deep conviction about, that he believed. You could tell he had probably said it. If he hadn't said it to his wife once, he probably said it 150 times. And it was something he believed to his core. I believe it. And when I said it, it was like, hello, yes. And some of you guys are wondering, why are you telling us this story right now? I just wonder if that was Jesus' reaction to Peter. Like, hello, that's it. That's it right there. Because Jesus gets awfully excited, and he looks at Peter, and he's like, here's the thing, Peter. You didn't think this up on your own. This is not just some great idea. This isn't just some belief for a conversation at the campfire. But what you've just spoken is something that is deep, it is meaningful, and it is something that was revealed to you by God himself. And after my encounter, by the way, hello, Chuck, good to see you. After my encounter with Chuck and his reaction to my bow hunting comment made me think, like, I'm going to be preaching about something very similar, and I just wonder if Jesus looked like him, like, that's the point, that's it. And watch this now, watch. Because he goes on to say, he says, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah. This was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but by my Father in heaven. In other words, you've had a revelation from God. God has done something powerful here. And then he says this, I tell you that you are Peter. Just pause right there, because he's made a change, a name change. Let me tell you something. Jesus will always change you. He will always change you. Like the you, thank you, the you that you want to be, Jesus is trying to transform you into that image. The you that he wants you to be, he is trying to change you into that image. And he makes this change, and here's what he says. I tell you that you are Peter. And watch this. On this rock, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Yeah, amen. That is powerful. So here's the question. What rock? What is that? Is it Peter? Like, is Peter that awesome? Should we talk about him more? Is it like people named Peter? Like, that would be fun, right? If you're from the Northeast, they're PETA, right? All right, I'm just kidding. Sorry. It's fun. Look, I have a Southern twang. All right, cool. It's fine. So you can throw little shots at me too. It's fun. It's like, is it Peter? And listen, it's not Peter. It's not even the statement, it's the revelation. Essentially, here's what Peter said. You, Jesus, came from God, and you're the only one who can save. And Jesus is like, that's it. And I will build my church. Now, around here, I hope we know the answer to this. I'm going to look for some crowd interaction here, but like, who is the church? We are. That's right. If you are in a relationship with Jesus, if you know God because of the sacrifice of his son, Jesus Christ, on the cross for your sin, who then walked out of a tomb and is alive and well and seated at the right hand of the Father, interceding and praying for you, you are the church. I think that being in this building with this enormous stage thing, like this, there's never been more proof, right, that the church is not a location. I think our church should understand it as well as anybody. By the way, this is St. Augustine High School. They got some incredible production going on. We're going to take advantage of it. Next week, we're doing baptisms. Today, we're going to do trust falls. So right after service, we'll just... All right, I'm just kidding. My friend Shane said, you first. Okay, fair enough. But we are the church. It isn't a building. It's not a location. It's not an address. It is a people. And here's what Jesus said. I am going to build my people on this rock, this revelation that I am the way, the truth, and the life, that I am the source of all hope, all life, and all freedom, that it is not just trying to get to God and there's a lot of avenues, but like I'm the way to him. Like it's the idea that I come from God and nothing and no one else can save you. Not a career achievement, not a child, not having that mark or that toy or that thing in life. It's not any other avenue or resource or religion. Can I just preach right here? It is Jesus and Jesus alone. And he says, and on that revelation, I'm going to build a people that not even hell can prevail against. That is a powerful thing. And so I want to talk about that because he says, you are the Messiah, Son of the living God. And I just want to talk about Messiah because Messiah means anointed one or one who saves. So Peter even saying Messiah, again, would have been very common language. Listen, Jews were looking for the Messiah fervently. Him even saying that is saying that I know that you are from God. You being the Messiah are the one from God. You being the Messiah are the only one who can save. And so I want to unpack that just a little bit because I think for us, we need to better understand who Christ Jesus is. And the Bible says in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18, watch what the Bible says. It says we should grow in the grace and the what? Knowledge. The grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and forever. Amen. That's like putting the stamp on it. So be it right there. And so it is important that those of us who are in Christ Jesus grow in Christ Jesus. The grace of Christ Jesus, which is like the empowerment to grow in the grace and to grow in the knowledge of Christ Jesus. The Bible actually says that people, they perish for lack of knowledge. It is important that we gain knowledge and understanding. Isn't that right? And so what I want to talk to you about just for a few moments this morning is I want to talk to you about this. Kind of the statement of the day, I guess, is this. To know, you must pursue. So if I am going to be the person that is like the church that is building my life on this rock, this understanding, this revelation of who Christ Jesus, the Messiah, really is, then it would be imperative that I pursue him. And I think that that makes a lot of sense, right? Maybe it's something you would expect the preacher to say, like, of course, you want us to go to church and read our Bibles and pray. But like, yeah, not so that you can check it off the list and say, I went to church and then read my Bible, check, I prayed, check. But no, like, so that you can grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because when I grow in that grace, when I grow in that knowledge, here's what happens. My life begins to transform. I like to liken it to this, especially being in Florida and on a beach coast, okay? If you go to the beach and you just stay out there all day, let's just imagine that it's an amazingly hot August Saturday at the beach, and you just go out there and just hang out in the water and in the sun, and you just spend a little time there. How many of you guys know that you are going to change? Depending on your skin tone and type might depend a lot on how the change comes. Fair-skinned, it's going to be red. Come on, right? I got somebody pointing at their bald head. That thing's going to burn. I put my hat on, right? But here's what we know, that just being in the presence of the sun, I change. You see kind of where I'm going? It's the same way in our relationship with Christ, that like being in the presence of the sun, we change. What's beautiful about it is if I show up to the beach for several hours and then I go home, I didn't really have to work for it. I just changed. I had to be in his presence. I had to go to the beach. Well, the same is true in my relationship with Christ Jesus. In fact, the same would be true in any pursuit. Any pursuit's going to take like some effort. I'm going to have to pursue it. I'm going to have to lean in. So I want to talk about pursuit a little bit. Is that okay? The pursuit of Christ Jesus. So the first thing, I think three, look, this is not like an exclusive list. It's just three things that God put in my heart, right? So I don't want you to think this is it. It could grow. But number one, pursuit requires focus. I actually have to focus on what I'm trying to pursue. And this makes a lot of sense. If you're trying to get a degree, you have to go to class. You have to do the assignments. You have to submit them on time. You have to hit a certain standard to move on to the next one. And then ultimately, at a certain point, you graduate and they give you a degree. Why? You pursued it. If you want your marriage to be healthy, listen, men, especially if you've been married for about more than 5 minutes, pursue her still. Okay? Pursue her still. Like, put your focus on her, on just her, and block out everything else. And just focus on her, because if you want that relationship to be healthy and vibrant and grow, you would have to pursue it, right? If you want that promotion, then you're going to have to lean in and pursue and focus and lean into what you're trying to achieve. Like, it makes sense. I could go on and on and on with analogies or whatever. The point is that if I'm going to have a heart to pursue, if I'm going to grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, then I think it's important for us to understand that I'm going to have to focus on Jesus. I'm going to have to focus on him. And can I just stand before you like a real, true human being and just be really honest? This one can be the tough one for me, because I see squirrels all the time. Y'all know what that means? You know what I'm saying? Like, I'll be thinking or pursuing something, then squirrel, and then all of a sudden I'm in another trail and I'm doing something else. And I don't think I have ADD, but I probably act like I do sometimes. And here's what I know about me is that I am an all or nothing type of a guy. I do not like half throttle. I just go for it. I dive in and I just do. But here's what I've learned about me is that can be a very strong thing. It can really be a good thing for me to have to know that, hey man, I'm kind of a committed person. I'm relatively loyal. I'd like to think I have a measure of toughness. I can put up with some nonsense, and I can push through, and I can achieve. I love to achieve, everybody. I like it. At the end of the day, I like to check boxes. Mowed the grass, check. Man, cleaned the kitchen, check. Like, whatever it is. I don't like to do either of those, but sometimes it's necessary. Amen. And so I like to achieve, but here's what I've also discovered is that strength that God put in me can become the distraction in my relationship with him sometimes. There are times that I'm just pursuing other things. And here's the thing, it's not even always like sinful things. It's not even like it's bad, it just might be different. And I have to be really careful to temper my passion and keep my focus on Jesus. Am I making sense? Because listen to me, some of us are too, I'm trying to help you. Can I preach today? Is that okay? All right, preacher warning, because it might like show up a little bit. But listen to me, I wanna help you. I wanna help me. That too many of us let the success or the failure of our relationship with Jesus be fully dictated by how we feel. It's very dangerous. Because your feelings, they will lie to you. That was like a soft pitch, but that's okay. I got more coming. They will lie to you. I'll prove it. You ever been driving in your car and you start dozing off? Your feelings are lying to you. Because my body thinks it would like to sleep right now. But the truth of the matter is, if you do, you and everyone around you is in pretty significant danger. And too many of us are allowing how we feel to dictate the vibrancy of our relationship with Jesus. I'm as guilty as anyone in the room, like 100%. Because here's what tends to happen, especially in atmospheres like this. Let's just go back 8 days ago, it was Easter. Man, the music kind of moved me, and Pastor Josh was so passionate. He even cried that one time. He cries every single stinking time. Man, and I felt it. Like I felt something. And let me affirm that that's legitimate. Because the Spirit of God will move us. I can't, when I feel the presence of God, it's why I cry. Like it's like a trigger. I know, like, man, I can feel the presence. And I don't know why God built me that way. I wish he didn't, but he did. And I just cry. And so I'm not even trying to negate how we feel. But eventually, the feeling will change. Come on, right? And again, we could go on and on and on with illustrations to this, but there might be times that you feel different about your spouse than you did on your wedding day because he said it again, and you're like, come on, anybody? Do we have real marriages in the room? I hope so. Feelings will shift and feelings will change. It's why we need focus. Like, God, I've got to focus on you because I need to grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. So I should have disciplines like church, Bible reading, prayer, giving. These are things that help reveal Christ Jesus to us more and more and more. I should be selfless. I should serve. I should sacrifice. These are the things that we really should cultivate rhythms of in our life. And it is not so that you can have good church attendance. It's not so that you can say I was in a life group. It's not so that you can brag that I gave money to the church. It's so that you can grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, who's transforming us when we are in the presence of the Son. Amen, everybody. Psalm 9, verses 10, it says, those who know your name put their trust in you. For you, O Lord, have not forsaken those who what? Seek you. There's a focus. There's a pursuit. I'm going after your heart, Lord God. And when I do that, I know you more and more and more. The second thing that I think comes with pursuit, and this is the one that might not feel so good, is discomfort. I heard a statement years ago that I just love, and it goes like this. Anything worth having is uphill. You got to climb for it. And I love that. I love that. I particularly love that because I like to earn. I really, really do, which I also think, by the way, is something deep inside that I need some freedom in Christ from. I'm just going to be transparent. Look, I'm just a real human, all right? Is that okay if I just, I'm not perfect. And so I like to earn. I like to achieve. It's why I like deer hunting. I have a statement. You kill them in the summer, you get to shoot them in the fall. I like to go scout and study and figure them out and make a setup and build a theory and gather data. And then all of a sudden, when the whole moment comes together, man, like the what you've earned, there's no feeling, not to me, there's no feeling like it. I like that. I like that in my business. I like that in ministry. I like that in my each day's life. I like it, but here's the thing. If we are going to pursue something, it will create discomfort in us. If I'm going to pursue fitness, then I am going to have some discomfort when it's time to go to the gym or exercise. If I'm going to pursue weight loss, there is going to be discomfort for me when I have to choose to have the salad, not the fried chicken or whatever. There's discomfort because I would rather have dessert, but it's not in my best interest to because I'm pursuing a different goal. And so anything in our lives that we are going to pursue is going to create in us discomfort. The Bible says this, Philippians 3, I want to know Christ and experience the mighty power that raised him from the dead. Come on, that sounds awesome, right? Look at the next sentence. I want to suffer with him. And I'm like, hang on. Time out. But look at the heart of Paul. I want to know him, so I want to suffer with him, sharing in his death. Can I just throw in parentheses, sharing in his discomfort? So that one way or another, I will experience the resurrection of the dead. What's he talking about? He's talking about the revelation that Peter had. You're the Messiah. You're the one that came to save all of us. Discomfort is a reality to the pursuit of anything. And in your relationship with Christ, and I hope I'm helping, because I believe there are people in our church that are all across the sort of the spectrum. Some of you are very mature and you've walked with God a long time and you know the deal, right? And for us, it can be sometimes a little bit difficult because it becomes a little bit routine and mundane and trying to like invigorate like that I want to feel it. I want it to feel good. I want to. Does that make sense? To pursue the heart of God. But then there are others of you, like you're young in your faith and you're just trying to figure it out. And like, well, I might not necessarily know what to do, but here's the reality for no matter where you are in your journey of faith, there is going to be some discomfort that comes in walking with God. And I would hate, just as a pastor, as someone who's trying to lead people, like I'm trying to just be your guide toward like the fullness of Christ. I would hate to be dishonest with you and to tell you that there may be times that God's going to call you to things that are uncomfortable for you. It might be uncomfortable for you to stretch your faith with your finances. It might be uncomfortable for you to go speak to that person because something inside of you says you ought to. And you just know it wasn't your idea. That's why you're fighting it so hard. It might be create discomfort when God calls you to sacrificially serve someone else. When God would call you out of your element or out of your normal or whatever it is. I mean, I could go on and on for days with examples, but there are going to be times, and here's what I want to say to you, like, don't be naive and think that building your life on this rock is always gonna just feel awesome, because there are gonna be times that Christ is gonna call us to die to ourselves. And God, I want to, but I'm asking you not to. God, I don't want to, but I'm asking you to. And what we do when we walk with God and we go up the hill in the pursuit of knowing his grace and his knowledge to unpack who he is more and more and more, this is when we start to discover, hey, this discomfort is worth it because God continues to reinforce me. He continues to build me. I understand him more. I know him more. My faith is growing in him more. And now all of a sudden, I'm more stable than I've ever been. And what used to rattle me doesn't rattle me the same way anymore. Why? I've been here before. I've got calluses. I'm battle tested. I've been through some stuff. I know what discomfort looks like walking in a relationship with Jesus. I'm growing up in my faith. Amen. Amen. Number three, just my last thought, is that if I'm going to pursue the Messiah, build my life on this rock, it's not only going to require focus from me, it's not only going to demand moments of discomfort for me, but it's also going to reward me. I wanted to end on a high. I thought that'd be a good idea. it is rewarding, isn't it? Like, it's awesome to be at the top of the mountain, and the view, the achievement, and that moment. But look, stuff don't grow up there. The air's thin up there. We're not designed to be on the tops of the mountains all the time. You know, you want to know where water is? You want to know where vegetation is? You want to know where growth is? It's down in those valleys. And I'll be honest with you, like, I'm nervous to even preach this because I'm like, oh boy, Satan just heard me. Here he comes. Anybody else like me? You're afraid to say it out loud? You're like, oh, he'll know. Well, yeah, it's true. But here's the thing. Man, walking with Christ Jesus, can I just tell you something? I've never been disappointed. I'm telling you right now, I can tell you story after story after story of times that nothing in my life made sense. Nothing. I mean, I remember times in our lives where financially it was like, man, it was rough. It was rough. Really, really rough. But I knew that God had called me to lead this church. And I took that step of faith. I did it. I stepped out. And I took that step, and I just thought, man, here comes God's favor, and here comes God's blessing, and here came the valley. I was tested. And there were a lot of times that I had to ask myself, like, are you crazy? And the answer to that is yes, but I knew I was obedient. And God came through. And so you know, our church is in a different spot now than it was 12 years ago, for sure, for sure. It's different. A lot more people come. We have a lot more resources. We have a lot more impact. We have a lot more people that engage and serve. We have a bit of a reputation, it seems, that I was talking to someone on the phone the other day at a bank. And they're like, oh, yeah, I've heard of your church. That's cool, man. We'd love to have you, you know. Do you go to church anywhere? Well, no. Hey. You're welcome. We'd love to have you. I think you'll find us to be pretty normal, you know. We're not awesome, but God is. That makes us awesome, right? My point is that walking with God, the pursuit of the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, it's unbelievably rewarding. It's unbelievably rewarding. John 8:32. Jesus said this, you will, what? You'll know the truth. And the truth will set you free. That sounds rewarding. I would like freedom from this bondage in my life. I would like freedom from this mindset that has always looped me back into negative patterns. I would like freedom from whatever it is, you fill in the blank, selfishness, greed, self-worth problems, self-image issues, feelings of inadequacy or unworthiness, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. You fill in your blank. I would imagine at some point we've all felt all of those. But there's freedom in Christ Jesus. And so it isn't church. It isn't serving. It isn't Bible reading. It isn't prayer. It isn't giving. It isn't et cetera, et cetera. It's growing in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah, sent from God, the only one who can save. All the other stuff I just listed is the result of. Because here's the truth. Here's what I, let me just speak for myself. Here's what I've discovered. That the more I grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, the more I want to be attached to the body of Christ. The more I care, what does your word say? And how should I respond to this situation? And what's best for my family and for my life? That grows in me. What also grows is my longing to just communicate to the Father. Just talk to him. Can I finish with something silly? I hope this helps somebody. But I actually like to, like, pull back the curtain and show that, like, I have issues. I just think that it's healthy, honestly. So I'm quirky. I'm quirky about a lot of things. And one thing that, like my love language is organization, okay? Order, systems. I like it, right? I've always been that way, apparently. I mean, my mom said even as a tiny kid and I would clean my toy box, I would do it away. I would do it the right way, the way she did it, because that's how it goes. That's order and organization. I remember I grew up working for my dad doing construction work, and I remember he got on to me one time, and he said, the tool doesn't go in the toolbox. It goes in that spot facing that way in the toolbox. And I'm like, yeah, okay, yes, sir. Like, that resonates. I got this. I like order. Because I like order, I cannot stand to lose things. Listen, I will go from 0 to 100 in a nanosecond if something is lost. It bothers me more than it should. Because I like being organized. The tool goes in the toolbox, right there, facing this way. I don't ever want to look for it. I just want to get it, right? And so this morning, I could not find my microphone. And I was ready to throw hammers. I'm serious. It rises up so fast. Aaron knows. It rises up so fast that I was seriously in my head like, you better calm down. You're at church. Seriously, I'm not kidding at all. I'm like, your team does not need to see what your family sees. And all my kids are like, amen. I'm like serious as I can be. There's a restroom back here. It's like my green room. It's where I prepare. And I just went and I got a little fold out chair in there. And I just sat down in that chair. And I needed to just talk to God. I wanted to communicate. You see how I tied that in? It wasn't a total waste of your time. I just wanted to talk to God. And I had to just sit there and say, God, help me, please. Because I know that this stuff, I know what it does to me. But that's not important. This microphone, even though it crackles up like Rice Krispies every once in a while, it's a luxury. I don't need this thing. Truth is, I could stand out there on the tip of this cool stage thing they made and just yell. Fine. Figure it out. Rest my voice and talk again tomorrow. It doesn't matter. It's a luxury. But in those moments of discomfort, my heart was, God, I got to go to you. I got to go to you. Because I know it ain't good, Jesse. I know, and I'm trying to grow up. But don't we all have kind of our things, our places? And so the more that we gain the grace and the knowledge of the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ, the more we want to connect to the things that he does, like the church family, like serving people, like giving, like groups, et cetera, et cetera. I feel like I've said et cetera too many times. Let's end it right there. But here's what I know. That some of us in this room are far from God right now. Maybe you're in a relationship already, but it's just distant. Been distracted. Your focus has been removed. And to get back on track, it might require a little bit of discomfort because you're going to have to reorganize, refocus, whatever it might be. But there is a very strong reward for that. And today, in this closing prayer, I'd like for us to just sort of make this our moment. Like, okay, I know the Messiah. I know who Christ Jesus is. And I'm going to choose today to pursue him. I know that there very well could be people in this room that you've never made a decision to follow Jesus. Never. But today, something's going on the inside of you. You feel it. You sense it. It's the voice of the Lord. And he's saying, just come into a relationship with me. It'll be worth it. I'm going to end with this verse in John 17:3. The Bible says, this is the way to have eternal life, to know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, the one you have sent. So with every head bowed, every eye closed, I'd love to ask you, where are you with God today? Is your relationship close? Oh, man, that's great. I really applaud you. Keep it up. Is your relationship distant? Are you feeling far from God this morning? Listen, it's okay. It's okay. Our Heavenly Father is always willing to bring us back every single time. And so what I want to do is I just want to invite you to say a prayer with me. And for some of you, this is going to be like a reconnection type of a prayer. And for others of you, this is going to be your first connection back to or with the heart of God. It's a very simple prayer, and we pray it every single Sunday here. And I want you to know something about it. It's not special. But the Bible says that if we believe in our heart that Jesus is Lord and we confess that with our mouth, that we will be saved. And this prayer is just our way of helping you. God's already done the best part. Your heart's been moved. I'm just going to help you with the other part, with the confession, so that you today can be saved. You can be connected to the Messiah. So if that's you, I want you to say that prayer. In church, you know how we do it. I ask everybody to say it. Because if you're saying it for the first time or the third time or the fifth time, I want you to be able to say it out loud with confidence and with boldness. Here we go. I want you to say, "Dear Jesus, I give you my life. All of it. Come into my heart. Forgive me my sin. Wash me. Cleanse me. Make me new. All that I am is yours. In Jesus' name, amen." Amen. Amen. Come on, let's stand. Let's give God some praise. Congratulate those. We'll finish with singing.